This past week, the Senate began debate on a bill that would change the rules under which Americans can declare bankruptcy. The Congress has proposed similar legislation many times before. To help us sort through the history of this bill and assess its current chances of passing, we've asked NPR's senior Washington editor Ron Elving to join us here in the studio. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you, Jennifer.
Ron, I've heard this bill is about 500 pages long. Briefly, can you tell us what's in it?
The bill would make it more difficult for people who get in over their heads financially to clear their debts by declaring bankruptcy. And it would set up a means test by which anyone who had sufficient means would be pushed into what's called Chapter 13 of the bankruptcy code. They would get a repayment schedule and begin making payments. Right now, an awful lot of those people are getting into Chapter 7, which wipes out their debt.
Without them having to lose all their assets.
Without having to give up all their assets. They do have to make some forfeitures of certain kinds of assets, but it's a lot easier for them to get out from under.
Now, supporters say this is needed because bankruptcy laws are being abused. Is there not a consensus on that?
There is still a consensus among banks and credit card companies and retailers that too many people are getting off too lightly and getting out from under their debt. So they still are pushing for this legislation, and they have pushed hard for it for the last 8 years. Consumer groups tend to say that this bill is too draconian, that it comes down too hard on people who have debts. And so a lot of the Democrats have been pushing exemptions to the means test for people, for example, with big medical bills, people who are in the military, people who have been giving long-term care to a relative, and those amendments have been defeated.
This is the eighth year Congress has considered such legislation. What has kept it from passing?
It gets through the House, it gets through the Senate, and then they get hung up because the Senate has included one amendment that the House never has. And that one amendment is proposed each time by Chuck Schumer, the Democrat from New York, and it says that you can't use any aspect of the bankruptcy code to get out from under a court judgment on you, such as the kind of court judgment, and this is what concerns Senator Schumer, that had been registered against some anti-abortion activists who were illegally blocking access to abortion clinics. The courts ruled against those anti-abortion activists, fined them, gave them these big payments to make, and they just declared bankruptcy and went right back to what they were wanting to do.
Is Senator Schumer proposing this amendment again this year?
On Tuesday.
So this, once again, may not pass.
It all depends on what happens to the Schumer Amendment, I suspect. And Chuck Grassley, the Iowa Republican who's the chief sponsor of the bill, believes that he has the votes this time to keep the Schumer Amendment off the bill.
If he does that, is there anything else that could keep the bankruptcy bill from once again passing?
Quite possibly, and that would be a minimum wage increase, which would not fly in the House, I don't believe. It could be debated there, of course, but the House has been opposed to increasing the minimum wage, and that's one reason the minimum wage has not gone up. In the last 8 years, it's still $5.15. Ted Kennedy, Massachusetts Democrat, will propose on Monday that the minimum wage go up $2.10 over the next 2 years, and he'll try to attach that to the bankruptcy bill. The Republican strategy there will probably be to cut it in half. Rick Santorum, Republican from Pennsylvania, will propose $1.10 over 2 years, raising it to $6.25. That amendment will probably pass, and then we'll have to see how things go with the House.
NPR's senior Washington editor Ron Elving, thank you.
My pleasure, Jennifer.
To find out more about who files for bankruptcy, we're joined now by Melissa Jacoby. She's an associate professor of law at the University of North Carolina. Welcome.
Thank you.
Can you give me a breakdown of who files for bankruptcy?
Well, I think the biggest group that we find in bankruptcy are really middle-class married couples with children at home. These couples are between their mid-30s through their 50s. In fact, families with children are nearly three times more likely to file for bankruptcy than an individual or couple with no children. These really are a cross-section of the working and middle class. Many have attended college. Many have owned their own homes. They've trained for decent occupations, such as being teachers and managers. And most of them have health insurance. So many of these families are solidly within this working and middle class group.
And what brings these families to the point where they file for bankruptcy?
The overwhelming majority of families we see in bankruptcy have some combination of problems relating to jobs or their family structure. And in particular, we've learned a lot over the last few years about medical problems contributing to bankruptcy. And they're contributing at least two ways. One is the direct cost of being sick, even for people with health insurance. But there's also the problem of indirect costs, such as income loss. And about 80% of medical bankruptcy filers say that income loss due to health problems contributes to their bankruptcies. That's not only because the filer was sick, but more than half of them do so to take care of someone else, such as a sick child or a spouse or a parent. People often ask about the role of credit cards, and it is true that many, if not all, filers are heavily indebted, but knowing that they have credit card debt doesn't tell us very much about the kinds of problems that they have.
So it may not be that there's overconsumption, they're just shopping a lot. It could be that they've transferred mortgage or medical bills or some such to their credit cards?
Sure. Just to give you a medical-related example, about half of the medical-related filers in a recent study reported using credit cards for medical expenses or basic necessities. Most stores, doctors' offices, hospitals, they all accept credit cards now. But if you look in the bankruptcy papers in the court, they'll never show you what those expenses were incurred for. And, of course, the fees and rates on credit cards can make these debts grow and really exacerbate the problem for these families. The same is really true for home equity loans. They can mask a variety of problems, too. In a recent study, 15% of filers who took a second or third mortgage cited medical expenses as a reason.
Has there been a significant change, say, in the past 5 or 10 years, either in who's filing for bankruptcy or for what reason?
There certainly are some demographic trends. Older Americans are the fastest growing group in bankruptcy. They are really still a small proportion of filers, but the rate has more than doubled between 1991 and 2001. And some of this may relate to medical problems, and some might relate to other financial vulnerabilities. They're going into their later years still owing money on their mortgages. We also see single mothers being overrepresented in bankruptcy now and being at greater risk for bankruptcy, and that's a problem that's recently been discovered. One in every 51 children in the United States was in a family that filed for bankruptcy during 2001. We wouldn't have seen those rates 10 years ago.
Are there more bankruptcy filings today than, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Yes. In 1994, there were 800,000 non-business bankruptcy filings. But in 2004, there were almost 1.6 million personal bankruptcy filings, which means about 4 million actual people in bankrupt households in that one year alone.
And any idea what's accounting for the increase?
The filing rate suggests that we have reason to be concerned that working class and middle class families are vulnerable. They are mentioning the same kind of problems and coming into bankruptcy with the same kind of problems we saw in the 1990s. Their incomes are not any higher than they used to be. Their debts are about the same as they used to be. The families are still in very bad financial shape. So for every family that does file for bankruptcy, there are probably many more at any time in any year that are in similar financial condition. Because bankruptcy has to be initiated by a family, it's not always clear what encourages that family to take that final step.
Melissa Jacoby is an associate professor of law at the University of North Carolina. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.